everybody, and welcome to episode 323 of the SCB Steelers podcast presented by Deck Roofing Incorporated.
A palindrome.
It is a palindrome. Very good. Man, we just educated the viewers a bit there, of which there appears to be one so far. Chris is in. Welcome in, Chris. There'll be some more.
Thanks for joining us on a random Thursday in June to talk
about. Right. It is the heart of the off-season, and you know that because TJ Watt is posting pictures of he and his wife golfing, and you've got other guys on beaches, and of course, Kenny Pickett, I think, he gets married Saturday, doesn't he? It's definitely the off-season, but there's still a few things to talk about, and we will also take some viewer Q&A tonight. We do that anyway, but we'll do it a lot more. Ian and Scarps are with us tonight, and Ben is he's in Arizona. We know that he's planning to join us, and so we'll see when he arrives. But
I'm gonna start calling Ben 3G because he 3G. Never has a connection, man. Yeah, 3G, man.
Let's call him dial-up.
Yeah,
what's up, dial-up?
DSL. Was that right? Yeah, Verizon, right? Yeah.
Yes, I think that's right.
Yep.
That's funny. What
I used to call Landry Jones Two Chains because he couldn't get more than two first downs in a drive.
No offense to the rapper either. Oh, hey, he's in. Hold on, there he is.
3G.
No offense. He is in. He's got a ceiling fan whipping around behind him. Looks like he's getting ready to take off.
What's up?
Hi, Ben.
Ian, what are you drinking tonight?
I've still got my Sam Adams Summer Ale.
Oh, yeah, that's
along
true.
With some whiskey on the side, you know.
Outstanding. Scarps, what do you got?
I have the Redemption High Rye, but the missus got me a this glass for Father's Day. It's
that's
daddy's.
Like four fingers worth, Ryan. That's
a nice glass of whiskey, though.
I was just gonna make a horribly inappropriate comment, but but it says Daddy's Sippy Cup on it, so I teared up a little bit when she gave that to me.
And first Father's Day, that's awesome.
Yeah,
it was a nice little gift.
That's a great gift. Ben, what are you working on tonight?
I'm just drinking coffee and cream and a little Crown Royal that was in my parents' liquor cabinet.
That's right.
There wasn't really time to plan for this, so I'm
totally understandable.
I'm here.
Understandable. Well, I've got a little Redemption Rye tonight. I also have I tried this new beer, Revolution Brewing. I believe it's out of Detroit.
Number 9.
Lemonade.
Yeah, it's a shandy, a lemonade shandy.
So it's malt liquor and lemonade is what it is.
Probably.
No, I'm not kidding. I'm being.
No, believe me. I've tried my share of malt liquors, and you're probably not wrong. So hello to everybody jumping in. But
iced coffee goes pretty well with whiskey. By the way, it's 106 here. It's 106 degrees right now.
It's a dry heat.
Right now at 7 p.m.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Yeah, that's. I mean, it is a dry heat. I will say that. Yes, that's
it's
all well good.
Yeah,
I don't know.
No,
if
it's
I've
all
ever
it's
experienced.
Cooled off. It's only 105. Sorry.
Oh, thank God.
I don't know if I've ever experienced a dry heat. So I don't know what would people talk about it. I don't think I've ever been somewhere that's had it.
We had it a little bit this year, like before
in Pittsburgh.
Okay, listen. So
impossible.
We had some days in the high 80s in like late April, early May that it wasn't humid yet, and it was like a bearable 89 degrees.
Okay.
I'll put it that way. So like I wasn't sweating all the like because when it's humid, you just sweat all the time, right? I'd say that was as close to a dry heat as I've seen, but I agree. I've not been anywhere that has like actual dry heat.
Oh shit! it does actually.
It does look like that.
I will say the whole dry heat thing is legit from the standpoint that if it's like 90 or 95 here, and it's perfectly dry, it's perfect out. It's warm, but it's not like overbearing. It's not something you can't stand dealing with. Where if it's 90 or 95 in fucking Pittsburgh, oh my God. Oh my God.
You're sopped in that case.
It sucks.
Yeah.
Death.
Yeah.
It's fucking awful. Anyway, I was going to tell you, I walked out of the airport today. I leave Portland this morning at 5 a.m. Ooh. It's like 49 degrees as I'm walking into the airport.
What a switch.
So I'm wearing shorts and a hoodie because I know when I get here, I'm not going to be wearing jeans.
Right.
I walk out the door of the airport to get a ride, and it's windy, and it's like a giant hairdryer is blowing. Would be the way that I would describe it. I was like, Jesus, welcome fucking home. Oh, my God. Had to come back here in June. That was smart. Anyway, let's talk about some football.
That's definitely what we're here for. So tonight what we're going to do is we'll talk some Steelers stuff. There's a few different items to discuss, and then we'll just turn it over to the viewers. I mean, it's the off season, and you guys do a great job asking questions. We try to answer them during the show, but sometimes we just don't. So we'll do a much better job of that tonight.
Anything goes questions?
We'll try.
Yeah. Anything goes questions? You know, my wife asked me that today on our walk. She said, so can people ask anything? And I said,
are you guys going to retweet this? Is anybody like from this show going to retweet this thing?
I did.
Did anybody else? I mean, like you need to retweet it and like it so that people actually see it while the show is on. I'm just looking for more interaction. That's
not
that I don't appreciate all of you who come in here every week and
especially
and give a shit.
Ian said a Thursday in June.
Yeah.
First of all, our best wishes out to the family of Clark Hagans.
What the hell?
Surprising. I mean, let's face it, the guy's a young man.
46
years old, and just very, very sad. And you know, it's interesting. You look back at his career, and obviously he's not, you know, a Steelers superstar, but he's one of those guys, I always thought anyway, that you need to have in order to have a successful team. You need a guy that can come in and play meaningful snaps, especially at that outside linebacker position. And
he was Robin to Batman, you know.
He was
Bud Dupree back in the day in 2005 for Joey Porter, who was Batman.
Well,
you know,
he didn't have Dupree's speed. I mean, he always hanging.
No, but that was the kind of role he played. He was actually a better edge setter. If we just want to talk about, you know, how they fit in the defense, rather. He was a better edge setter than Bud was, but he was a decent pass rusher. I think he had that Super Bowl season, Super Bowl XL. I think he had nine sacks.
Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, he was a guy who contributed all the time. I think he got injured in the playoffs running up to Super Bowl 43, and he was actually playing for the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm. Right. Ian and I were talking about that pre-show and the fact that, he got the ring with the Steelers and Super Bowl 40 and then turns around. He was on the opposition.
Got another.
He was on injured reserve, didn't play in that Super Bowl, but what a neat thing. But just really, really sad to see that. Again, a guy, in my opinion, that, you know, one of those guys you just got to have a special teamer when necessary. And special teamer
initially and then rolled into became a starter. Wasn't he a fifth round pick? It's a fifth round pick.
He went to the same college as Porter, didn't he? He went to Colorado State.
That's right. Yeah.
But he was a later round pick.
I think even
Joey was a three, and you can't get guys like that in the third round.
Yeah, he was a fifth. Yeah.
Yeah. Because 34 outline
run a 3-4. Yeah.
Right. That 34 outside linebacker position where you got that tweener guy who's kind of a defensive end, but kind of an outside linebacker, but you need somebody who can play edge like that, is now more sought after. So you can't get him in the mid rounds anymore.
And the internet and social media.
Well, amen to that, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, how many guys every year are like the internet draft darling?
Overhyped, yeah.
Are overhyped as fuck, and then when it actually comes around to the draft, they're like, we don't want that guy.
Right.
I mean, Jadeveon Clowney has made a whole career off of one hit in college.
No doubt about it. I mean,
I'm being
a dick, but that dude is one of the most overrated players.
I think he's
of production. In terms of production, absolutely. In terms of athletic ability, no.
I think he's been a nice NFL player. He's as much as I'll say.
He's a freak athlete who coaches look at and think, I can turn that guy around. I can make him into a star. I can, because coaches always believe that, right? Sure. I can turn that guy into a star.
I'm going to be the one,
And no.
But, you know, but Myles Garrett's a freak athlete and he's a really good football player.
Right.
You know, it's like, it's.
And so is TJ Watt, a freak athlete and a really good football player. So it comes down to desire, right? And I think that's probably what Clowney's issue is just desire. Greg Hardy, remember that fucking guy? Freak athlete, also a freak human being, but freak athlete who just kind of he liked football but didn't really love it, you know.
Ian, you had a couple more thoughts on Clark Hagans.
I mean, Hagans was a guy who I think Ben kind of hit it, was, you know, he was always solid but not spectacular, but he's one of those guys that you can, he's not going to be the star of your team, but you know, he was a very solid run stopper, edge setter. It kind of came into the league, like we said, in that time when the Steelers had a competitive advantage in the draft, that they would either go out to these schools that ran a 3-4, because not many of them did back in the late 90s, early 2000s. So like Colorado State, they got both Joey Porter and Clark Hagans from Colorado State because they were like, oh, this team's running the same defense we are. We don't care that they're, you know, not a Power 5 team. We'll, you know, scout their players. Or they would go out and scout sort of the undersized 4-3 edge guys and say, okay, can you stand up and play a little bit different style? We'll try and draft you. Sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. Hagans also kind of had the misfortune. The reason he wound up in Arizona and didn't finish his career in Pittsburgh was he had the misfortune that he was on the team Tomlin's first year, which was when they drafted Lamar Woodley in the second round. And while Hagans was solid but not spectacular, Woodley came in, especially the second half of the year, and that bull rush he had was just so damn good.
And it made Hagans superfluous.
Hagans
it was like, hey, we got this guy. We could trade him for something.
It was one of those, like, we have a guy who's good but not great, and then we've got this other guy who we drafted in the second round who has the potential to be great. And really, before Woodley got hurt, I mean, he was on that trajectory.
He was a terror.
He was an absolute terror. Yeah. Yeah. But Hagans was a good player in his own right. I mean, it wasn't, nothing against him. It was.
Right.
Yeah.
And also, let's not forget that was like with the Cower exodus.
Mm-hmm.
Ken Wisenhunt went to Arizona. Russ Grimm went to Arizona. I think Ray Horton was their defensive coordinator. I mean, that was the whole like Pittsburgh West time. You know, anyone who left Pittsburgh pretty much went to Arizona anyway. So,
B-Mac was out there for a little while.
Yeah, B-Mac went
and
out
then,
there.
And then the Steelers traded to get him back.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Willie Gay was out there.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
He spent that's a year out there, I think.
Yep. Scarps, you were going to say something there as I catch you in mid-sippy cup. Uh-oh. Did I lose Scarpino?
Yeah, I don't know. Scarpino, maybe. Can you hear us? Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Do you want to say something?
Can you hear me?
We can hear you now.
We can.
Tell me, can you hear me? I was busting Ben's balls about the 5G earlier. Now I'm having internet issues.
That's right.
Karma's a bitch.
Karma's a bitch.
About Clark Hagans, obviously didn't get to work with him, but met him a couple times. He just seemed like I'm delayed. I'm worthless. Can you hear me?
It's like you said. It's delayed. All right,
give me a second. Let me.
Yeah.
Go ahead and give me a sec.
The old refresh. Refresh.
Turn it off and turn it back on. That's
my unplug the router.
Right.
That always works.
Back in. Let's see. He's trying to get back in here. There he is.
There he is.
Sorry, Ben. Hey. I busted balls about the internet. Now
technology, baby. Technology.
That's karma. Yeah. It's kind of like that night I was saying, hey, should you really be drinking? Are you sure?
Right.
I mean, Jessica's like 8.5 months pregnant. Are you sure you should be drinking? It's okay, though. You sobered up real fucking quick.
Oh, yeah.
When that water broke, you were like, oh, God.
I'm on, baby. I'm on.
Adrenaline.
I think I said 2 miles away from the hospital, and it like I just looked right at her. I was like, I'm still hammered, but I'm okay. Like, good though. Yeah, so to get back to Clark Hagans, I didn't get to work with him, but I did get to meet him a few times. He just seemed like a really good dude, and I heard nothing but great things from former coaches. And I remember our community relations director Michelle at the time spoke very highly of him. And outside of football, it's just weird. It's just always weird when, you know, I was a freshman in college when they won Super Bowl 40, and a guy you watched is passed away. Like, it's just such a weird thing. And
right,
you know, time is precious. So cheers to that, and RIP to Clark Hagans, and best wishes to his fam.
Don't take your health for granted. I talk about this shit all the time. Don't take your health for granted.
Nope.
And moving on, I think Ian, and I hate it when we all agree with one another on this show because it's boring. Yeah. But I think Ian hit the nail on the head earlier when he said that basically them drafting Woodley was Hagen's downfall. And let's face it, they didn't expect Woodley to be that good.
That fast.
They didn't think that Woodley was going to be that good. And he was good enough that he could play as a rookie in that defense, and that was when rookies never got to play in that position.
Very rare.
So it was kind of a big deal.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. One thing we didn't talk about last week was the fact that Deontay Johnson did not attend minicamp.
He did attend minicamp. He didn't attend OTAs. He was at mandatory camp.
He was at the mandatory camp.
He was at mandatory camp.
All right. But he missed all of the OTAs.
Right. He was working in Florida with his trainer and
whatever group he works with there. I think he works out with the guy on he's known as like Route God. I can't think of his actual name.
But he's working. The guy's busting his ass.
Yeah, it's not like he's in Cancun.
No, he's not riding jet skis a la Le'Veon Bell and fucking off and, you know, getting out of shape. All right.
Would you guys have preferred to have seen him at OTAs, or are you okay with him taking some time and working with his guy? And
I will defer to Kenny Pickett on that. And he didn't seem to be bothered by it, but, you know, Pickett, I get the sense that Pickett is a bit of a Sunshine Squad member. Like, he's always positive about everything. Like, even if he had a gripe, he wouldn't bring it up.
Right. He's not going to air it in front of
him. He's a PR dream.
Yeah. Is that what it is?
He always says the right things. I mean, if the worst thing he does is shotgun a beer, you know, I mean,
well, who hasn't shotgunned a beer at a country concert?
But that's a lot better than being in a public bathroom in Milledgeville, Georgia. I'm just saying, you know.
Yeah, riding a motorcycle without a helmet.
I wasn't there when that happened, but yes.
Being involved in a high-speed chase with the police. Shooting a police helicopter.
Mooning the police helicopter.
What was the public urination? Was that Jeremy Tooman?
I believe. No, Matt
Spaeth. Well, Spaeth. That was Spaeth.
He's a guy. That was bad. I like Spaeth. Jeff Reed beat up a pair.
Jeff Reed got out of the car and yelled at the cop for writing him a ticket for pissing in public.
Don't you know who he is?
Oh, yeah, that'll get him out of it. That's
that
a good idea.
Always goes over well, doesn't it?
Oh my shit.
God. That's funny stuff.
Alcohol, you know, consequences out the window.
Right. No doubt about it. So, you know,
hold on. I think I tweeted this the other day.
Uh-oh.
But really, Pickett needs to lean into this whole shotgunning thing. Like when he scores a 1 yard rushing touchdown to cut the lead to 28 to 7, he really
that's just brutal.
He really
that's
needs like, to take
that's,
the football.
That's like, no, nah, that's like Baker Mayfield esque. Fuck that. No.
No.
No way.
I say lean into it, take the football and shotgun it in the end zone. I'm all for it.
And just so we're clear, Baker Mayfield is a better quarterback than Kenny Pickett
at point, at this stage.
I mean that's a fact.
I don't think you can say that at this small sample size of you know what Pickett's got.
I would say that
Mayfield has a better career certainly to this point and has accomplished more than Pickett to this point. But Pickett's at the very beginning. Pickett was finally coming into his own in December of last season.
Okay.
So I'm optimistic, and I'm not saying the guy is going to be even a top 15 quarterback this year. What I am saying is we have yet to see what he can be.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Mayfield, I think, set the record for passing touchdowns as a rookie.
Did he?
And on a shitty Browns team, so...
I like Mayfield.
He's had good receivers.
I mean, I didn't think he was going to be
He's had good
great,
receivers, but... and he had a good line.
Right. Right. And I think
– Well, Kenny was the most pro-ready, though.
Well, sure. Think... Most ready doesn't mean ready.
Right.
Just means more ready than the other guys, because the other guys were really not ready.
Yeah.
Malik and the other hard thing to gauge is, like, you know, Kenny's entering year two of his career, right? So comparing him versus – other quarterbacks, right? Like Kenny Pickett is nowhere close to as good as Kirk Cousins right now. But will Kenny Pickett in year 10 or 11 be better than Kirk Cousins is now in year 10 or 11?
Potentially.
Possibly.
No.
Maybe.
Potentially.
I'm going to say maybe.
Well, I will say if he gets a receiver like Jefferson where he can just go, he's down there someplace, then yeah, he will be. Yeah.
Pickett doesn't have as strong an arm as Cousins does.
Cousins doesn't have a real strong arm.
I think Pickett's body
is going to change. That's something
I'm not even hating on Pickett. I'm just saying, like,
neither am I. I'm just telling you straight up, his body is going to change.
To me, this is no different than when somebody asks you, what do you think of the Steelers draft? And my traditional answer is, I'll ask you in two or three years. Same thing here. Baker Mayfield right now is a better NFL quarterback than Kenny Pickett is, but give me a couple of years to see Kenny Pickett.
And
that's all I can say to it.
And I love y'all, and we're good.
This is actually a good conversation. I like it.
No, but you do realize how many people right now would say that Kenny Pickett is better than Baker Mayfield, and I think
lots of them. They're not correct. I don't know how you would substantiate that position, given, like I said, the very small sample size you have for Kenny Pickett. Nah.
Well, and let's also not forget the fact that you have people that cannot be black and white. They can only be black.
Because they're
and gold.
Black and gold.
You right. Know? They can't. They can't separate, you know. And if you can't be objective, then you're never going to give an honest answer to that question.
I don't think anybody can be completely objective. Let's be frank.
It's hard.
I think that some of us make an attempt to do it. And some of us think that if we're not all sunshine and rainbows 24/7, that we're not real fans. And so then I guess I'm not a real fan because I'm not 24/7 sunshine and rainbows.
No. That's why we do this here, because we sometimes are the cloudy skies. We sometimes are the lightning and the thunder.
Haters.
That's a good question from Jennifer. We should talk about that.
Well, let's have a look. Did you see the Pat P podcast where Kenny told him the way he lined up messed him up? I'm going to plead ignorance there. I heard something about it, but I don't know the entire deets.
Yeah. So basically Peterson has his podcast with Bryant McFadden. They do a really nice job.
Yep.
I think it's kind of cool too, that like, not only are they talking about like being defensive backs and just being NFL players and all that, but like it's kind of bringing Patrick Peterson, this veteran player who spent most of his career with other teams, into like the Steelers tradition, right?
Yeah.
And we saw how quickly like Joe Hayden, who spent his whole career with the Browns hating the Steelers, like assimilated to being a Pittsburgh Steeler and just absolutely loved it here. So it's kind of cool to see that progression too.
Yes.
But to Jen's question about Peterson, what he was saying was, you know, I think BMAC asked him, like, you know, so how's OTAs, how's minicamp going? You know, where are you lining up? Because when they brought him here, Tomlin was like, oh, we're gonna move him around. And Peterson was kind of like, yeah, you know, the first week I kind of just lined up on the outside and started figuring that out. Yeah, and then
left corner.
Yeah, and then the next week they started kind of moving me around a little bit. And
correct.
And BMAC asked him how it was going, and he said, well, you know, I got a pretty high praise from the quarterback that he said, you know, he pulled me aside after practice and he was like, you know, in this formation, when you lined up here, you were invisible. I couldn't see you. He's like, if you do that to other, you know, other quarterbacks, if you roll into that coverage from that position, like that's a good spot for you to be in to make a play. So, you know, what's it say about Peterson versus what it says about Kenny? You know, Kenny still hasn't seen all the coverages in the world. He's right. Only played, what, 10 games.
He's a young guy still.
But I think seeing that stuff and getting that feedback and the two of them talking, right, because Peterson's run the coverage. He knows what he's looking for in a quarterback.
Right.
I think the communication helps. I mean, it can't hurt.
It's
right?
good that they're talking. Absolutely. Yeah, it's just like Brian Flores last year helping Kenny with – you know, with understanding
his own offensive coordinator.
Yeah. Yeah. helping Kenny understand defenses, helping him understand it from that standpoint, and then calling him when, you know, they're both watching a game, a night game on TV, and there's a 2-minute drill, and he calls him and says, hey, are you watching this? are you seeing what this guy is doing? This is what I'm talking about.
Well, you know, I tend to believe Matt Canada would have called. But he was, you know, busy doing other things.
He wanted to call, but the organization told him not to. Ooh. The higher up from the organization said, "Don't do that."
Don't.
You know,
that, man.
And I do think it's cool, and I do think it's yeah, you're right, Ian. It can't hurt. But I look at this and say, you know, hey, they had a Hall of Fame quarterback for how many years, and they had a Cam Hayward, a T.J. Watt, a Minkah Fitzpatrick. And they didn't win a. They haven't won a playoff game, right? So like all this shit's great. That's great that they're talking, but until you know, this you know, I don't want to say the stars align, but
it occurs to me that what's been missing from this team for years, to your point, Ryan, has been, this isn't going to go over well. I'm going to get trashed for it. It's been leadership, and I mean locker room leadership.
Nah, I don't think you get.
And,
I don't think you'll get trashed for that.
I think anybody who watches the show, I think a lot of people who watch the show or listen to it later are going to give me some shit for it. And that's fine, whatever.
Yeah.
Ben, you know, a lot of guys have been on record. Ben was not a natural leader. He didn't really work at it. You know,
he didn't give a shit. He didn't care.
It wasn't his forte. Right.
Didn't care.
Like, you know,
he just wanted to play.
He wanted to play, and he wanted you to be in the right position, and he would tell you where to be, and he acted as though he were a coach on the field during practice. Actually, that at the end of the day was the downfall for his relationship with Antonio Brown. I'm not trying to say AB was perfect, because he was not. They both erred.
Yeah.
In that relationship, and I would say AB aired even worse, but you know, AB has got the emotional maturity of your average 6-year-old, so I expect that out of AB.
Right.
I would expect better out of a quarterback just because of the nature of the situation. And
I think Ben, it's a good point.
Ben fucked up. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, defensively as well. I mean, you look at all the talent that they've had over there, again to Ryan's point, and they haven't really produced all that well when it really mattered in the playoffs. And that to me comes down to leadership on the field. You know, I'll give you guys a great example of leadership and watching it unfold right in front of you. That last game that Charlie Batch played versus the Ravens.
Yeah.
When they had to have that drive, they had to, and he walks into the huddle and he fires those guys up, and he's like, right now, you gotta perform right now. Everything you've got now.
Yep. Yeah, that was a great moment.
Is what we need. That, yeah. You know, a guy like Joey Porter again.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe JPJ will be that guy. Maybe he won't. It seems to me that he's his own person. Mm-hmm. All the reviews I've heard from the kid are that he's down to earth. He's humble. He really wants to learn. He's right. Looking. He doesn't think he's got all the answers. He's looking to the veterans. He's looking to the coaches. He wants to be coached. So from that standpoint, I see a guy who's got the potential to be a really great player. Will he be a great leader like his dad was? I don't know. Maybe. Right. Maybe not.
Yeah, and so getting back to, I know, man, we are off the rails, and it's probably my fault, but getting back to your point.
Always is, yes.
But getting back to your question, I do think Deontay Johnson should have been at OTAs because he was drafted in 2018. They don't have besides Cam, the next player that they have from a draft is TJ in 2017. Because they lost Cam Sutton,
right,
and Juju, whatever, in the last couple years.
Yep.
And then in 2018, Terrell Edmonds is gone, and then DJ was the second pick. So, like, DJ
was
that literally
– Chooks, too, or was Chooks 19?
Chooks might be 18, too, but Chooks was there. So, like, there's a very small number of players that have been on that team that have been a Steeler for longer than 6-7 years, right? Mm-hmm. So – to me, that is important. And
I don't
disagree
with you, but how much of what we're seeing from a guy like DJ, and I'm just looking back at all the frustration we saw last year, how much of that is a message about Matt Canada and how he is not dedicated to this offense, does not like it, does not believe in it. And if I were him, I got to be honest, if I'm him and I'm being asked to constantly run hooks and comebacks in situations where I'm bracketed by a corner and a safety, and I'm going to get no yards after the catch because they're right there, I'd be pissed too. And this is what they asked him to do over and over and over again. And I don't know why the casual fan. I do know why the casual fan of the street doesn't see it, because they're not interested in all those details. They just want to see a guy produce. And if he doesn't, it's his fault. The receivers don't choose what routes they run. They're given options,
right,
based upon what they see, and they have to run these routes and they have to be at that spot, and that's where the quarterback puts the ball. It is a dance. He can't just decide that he's going to go run something else. Well, Antonio Brown did that a lot, and Ben just put up with it because he was AB and he was so fucking good. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes
I mean,
you know,
the QB throwing him the ball too. I mean, there was definitely
there was.
They had something.
Ben could hold the ball longer because he could squeeze into those really, really tight windows because he had the huge arm.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny's gonna have to throw in a timing pattern. And he's gonna throw that with anticipation.
Ben also had the ability to make more audibles than Pickett does, right?
Sure.
Ben could go out there and be like, I see this. That play we just called, that play sucked. We're throwing that out. We're changing it up. We're going to run this instead.
He'd run little hand signals with AB. He'd go, uh-huh.
Yeah. They did things nobody knows what was going on. Claude had a good question based on something we were just talking about. You know, would you fire Canada if the Steelers were, you know, losing record by the bye week? And I'll just preface with saying that's something the Steelers really don't do. No matter how bad things are, they're not going to fire an assistant coach midseason. However, if the offense is shit-tastic, me personally, I would, but that's not how the Steelers do things.
I would have fired him last year. It's obvious. It's obvious they're going to have to fire him in January anyway.
Right.
Lies.
Why not just fire him now? They will retire him. Okay.
Touche.
They will quietly acknowledge that he won't be returning.
Yeah.
They won't really fire him per se. His contract will expire and he won't be invited back.
He will not be renewed. Yeah.
So since you know it's going to have to happen anyway, and that you're going to have your rookie, your young quarterback learn a new offense anyway, why put it off for a year? Why not just do it now?
That was my argument. Yep.
And
get it over with.
And
acknowledge your mistakes and just move on. Sorry, Ryan.
No. I've been talking a lot. Go ahead, Ian, if you got something.
No, I've pretty much made my point. I would have fired him at the bye week last year, but that's me.
You know, and I would also say, too, that and I think I talked about this. I think I talked about it in Casey's voice, but I'm going to say it in my voice. You know, you're already starting to see the same bullshit you saw last offseason because there's a lot of free time and the Sunshine Crew.
Casey,
like,
saying same bullshit you saw last year, but okay.
No, but the Sunshine Crew is already talking about, they're sleeping on this offense. Just like last year, they're sleeping on this offense. And I sit there and think, you know, okay.
I cannot wait for Casey to. Okay, I'm biased.
They did rebuild the line, and it appears that they're going to be a more running team for that identity. But then I start to think, and I talked about this earlier this week, is that, okay, you have DJ. He struggled last year. I expected the bounce back. You know, George Pickens had a really good rookie season. You know who else had a really good rookie season? Chase Claypool. And you want to talk about leadership and coaching. Chase Claypool, this time last year, talked about he was a top three wide receiver in this league.
Yeah,
and like you just like look at it now, it's like you don't win with those dudes. So for everybody that's talking like, oh, George Pickens is going to be an all pro or he's going to be a Pro Bowl, you have no idea what's going to happen this year. And then Allen Robinson seems like a really nice dude. But he talked about, being the spoon or the fork or the spork or whatever you want to call him. He's an outside receiver. He's not a slot guy. So they're putting all these eggs in the Calvin Austin.
They're
going to
stick him in the
basket.
Slot.
I think they are. Especially in the red zone.
Calvin Austin or Allen Robinson?
Robinson. Robinson played some slot in L.A., though. He did.
My point being is that everybody has all this confidence for some reason, and it all goes back to who's coordinating it. And it's Matt Canada.
I know.
And I understand that he had a statue in Bend in 2021, and then in 2022 is it going to be Mitch, Kenny Mason, whatever you want to call it. But like, I don't know how people are so confident. Like, the dude is went way over his head. He just comes across as such a smug prick when he does his interviews. And I have a hard time believing that their PR staff doesn't give him good talking points. Like, I feel like he's just a dickhead. And like, that makes me hate him even more. Like, he has no no. All right. I'm a little buzzed. I don't drink as much as I do, but he has
spitting bars of truth right now.
Todd Haley and Keith Butler and Bruce Arians and Dick LeBeau, they had personality and they've been around the game for so long that they knew if
the
guy
didn't
they
love
knew,
Dick LeBeau. I mean, honestly, you know,
we
did not
we
love
gotta
that
get
guy.
Todd on this show. I think, you know, Todd would love this show.
You know, then Randy had personality. It seems even Terrell Austin has personality. But like Matt Canada, he's just, oh my God. I thought I hated
Matt Canada. Wow.
He's just, and then he wears that stupid fucking straw hat that he wears out to grass. Like if the guy picked up a rake or fucking cut the grass, I'd actually like him more. But he strikes me as a guy that like looks like he's about to fucking do some lawn maintenance and doesn't do anything. He just hires somebody because he has a fucking nice contract because he gave somebody's son a scholarship.
Oh shit.
Oh,
that
wow.
That may be one of the finest rants we've had in this particular show.
Okay, so again, I'll remind everybody that Matt Canada makes $700,000 a year as Steelers offensive coordinator, as far as we've been able to verify. And that there was a memo sent out by the league late last season regarding the amount of money, and it was $800 million that teams had paid out over the previous 5 years, just 5 years, fired coaches and head office executives. So when you couple that with the fact that the Rooneys have been known to be a little thrifty, and the fact that the offense was improving, the arc was, you know, getting a little better as the season went on, it becomes easier to rationalize keeping that guy around when you owe him $700,000.
One thing that we talked about right after the season, and I remember looking the statistic up about teams that improve, offenses that improve from year to year. You know, we averaged roughly 18 points a game. And if you look back, I think the Lions were the only team from
in the top 10 that didn't make the play or that didn't make the playoffs. Yeah.
Right. But they were one of only two teams that actually improved their scoring per game a full touchdown. Because what we were talking about was like, is this team really going to be able to go from 18 points a game up to 25 points a game? And a lot of people seem to think, oh, that's not a problem at all.
Well, oh, yeah. 25 points a game in the NFL is hard.
That's very hard.
It's hard.
And I just,
because you're going to have some of those, you're going to have a few games where you only get 17. And so you've got to ramp that up even more in order to average the 25. It's hard, man. You got to have a bunch of 30 point games to average 25.
You know, and Todd Haley used to talk about this all the time, and he talks about it now, but you know, and I get that it's a different situation because back then their defense wasn't as good, but like Tomlin would come up to Todd or vice versa, and they'd be like, how many points do we need to score this week? And like Tom would be like, we need 30 this week. And Tom would be like, yeah, fuck it, no problem. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, it takes them four games to score 30 now. Like, I mean, they got 10 going into the fourth quarter. And that's what I'm saying. Like they, you know, I don't know. You know, they just like, I get that you don't want to pay somebody 700 grand to not work, but maybe you look at it as I'm paying you 700 grand to go away.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Too.
That is precisely how you look at it.
If somebody gave me 700 grand to go away, I'd be fine with it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like, hey, you know what? We made a mistake here. We're going to go ahead and we're going to acknowledge it. We've had a couple of years here. We gave you a run. What the hell happened to Ian?
He's refreshing.
Oh, okay. He's good. We gave you a run. It's not working out, man. Sorry.
Jen, don't you ever say that again.
You know what?
I don't ever want to see.
No, Jen is making a very good point.
Oh, God.
I don't want to see them on Hard Knocks either. But look how much video the Steelers social media team is putting out of team meetings and other events. Now, granted, all of that is controlled by the team. So the message is very much controlled by the team, as Ryan will tell you. But look at how much of that is being put out recently.
I would be stunned, stunned, if they were ever on Hard Knocks.
Tomlin would hate it. Happy. I would not watch a single episode.
Did they already say there was two or three teams that was going to be and it wasn't us?
Yeah.
They made the playoffs last 2 years ago, so they're automatically they can't be drafted. That's one of the stipulations if there's certain criteria that if you don't meet, you're like automatically in the mix. But
right.
I remember, and I know it's been 10 years, but leading up to the London game, we had an NFL Films crew at the facility. And it was literally a royal pain in the ass because like, we don't allow that sort of behind the scenes stuff. And some of the stuff you're seeing now from the Steelers has been alluded to is actually, I'm like, wow, they're pulling the curtain back a little bit, but
it's controlled. They're picking what they want to go out.
Speaking of pricks, that producer for NFL Films was such an asshole, and he didn't listen to anybody, and he was always trying to go places he shouldn't have been. And he got John Norwig yelling at me because he's like this, you know, the dude's filming guys getting their ankles taped and shit. He's in the equipment room. Anyway, I don't remember that guy's name, but fuck that guy.
He's like Pat McAfee right now talking about Danny Smith.
The camera
guy. Nicest
guy
ever won. He's a great guy to go out and come out and have a beer with, but a fucking asshole.
Camera guy and audio guy. Great people.
I agree with Claude. The Steelers on Hard Knocks would be fantastic TV because Tomlin – I met some people this weekend. The first thing they said, Steelers fan, I said, yeah, he's, oh my God, we love Mike Tomlin. We love Mike Tomlin. You know, and I get the feeling that that's the way a lot of people feel. And he would. He'd be amazing TV, but I don't want to see it.
No.
That's just me.
If the Steelers are ever in a position where they can be forced into doing it, they're doing it.
Well, sure. Yeah.
That is 100% going
to happen. Yeah, I agree. I agree. I do want to also send my condolences to Matt Smith, who has jumped on the show tonight. Matt is a Steelers fan, but he's also a Maryland fan, which means he's had to endure more Matt Canada than the rest of us.
I don't know. There are a lot of Pitt fans out there that thought that Canada was going to be really fucking
good. Well, that's also – that is true, Ben. That is true. So Matt
– why?
Yeah. Yeah.
How could you watch that offense and think it was going to be good? I still don't get it. I didn't get it then. I don't get it now.
No. No, and as to his question,
throw in all this razzle dazzle misdirection, and there's going to be a lot more play action. Is there any fucking play action? We're near the bottom of the league in play action.
Bottom of the league in play action. I couldn't.
And we're almost worse. Pickett's quarterback rating is worse on play action passes.
Yes.
Than it is on regular throws. Like, I can't even count how many times last year on 2nd and 8 after a 2-yard run on first down, it was a play action rollout to the right. And the same like double crossing route pattern coming across the field. Up, it's all covered, and you know there's pressure coming in front of him. So Pickett either throws away or runs out of bounds for a 1-yard gain. And now it's 3rd and 7, and here we go again. And you know it's just, like, what the fuck are we doing? Part of running play action is you got to run different ass plays when you run it. You can't run the same boot right, 2 receivers coming across like that play.
It's a high school play.
That play they ran on play action was on like the NCAA 2004 game with Larry Fitzgerald on the cover. That was like one of the 2 play action passes.
Really good game.
That was a really good game. It's one of the little, like 2 play action passes you could run. It's the same route. It's the same combination. And it's so but you're right.
The good news is the guy that designed that play and called that play is still the offensive coordinator.
Is that good?
That's good news. No, it's listen, they are going to score 30 points a game this year.
No, they're not.
You mean 30 points in one game or
or 30 points over or 4 games?
Who's their first? I can't remember. Who's the opener at home?
San Francisco.
Okay.
They will have
13 points heading into the fourth quarter.
That's a safe bet. Yeah. Yeah, the Steelers offense is like the meme where the guy's like, the more you fuck around, the more you're going to find out, right?
Yes.
It's like, we're going to fuck around for 3 quarters, and then we're going to find out what these guys are actually made of in the fourth quarter if we have a chance, or we're just going to be screwed.
And I know I went on a rant, and I just want to say one final thing about Matt Cannon, and let's move on. Like, I hate his stupid straw hat. If I only had a brain. fucking Wizard of Oz, but no, you know, he has a family. I'm sure deep down he's a decent human being, but like when you have a high profile position like he does, you are not free from criticism. And I've said this on the show many times, y'all fucking hated Todd Haley, and Todd Haley coordinated some of the best offenses in Steeler history. And I know he had Brown, Bell, and Ben, but you know what he got a lot out of guys like Marcus Wheaton. He fucking made Eli Rogers a comparable wide receiver. So I know you didn't like him for whatever reason. Maybe it's because he got a little sloshed at Tequila Cowboy a few times. Yeah. Red Zone.
I didn't
whatever.
Care. Tequila Cowboy. He gave a shit. That gave him character. Yeah.
Red zone was my 95% of it. Yeah. It was the red zone.
Red zone. Because he would get cute. He'd move the ball at will between the 20s.
Yep.
And then move the ball at will. And then he'd get into the red zone and start to get cute. And it was like, what the fuck? Why don't you just do what you were just doing?
And you could almost bank on him having to call a timeout too.
Yeah, because or Ben.
You know what, though? One or the other.
And they don't do it anymore after him. Remember they used to go for 2 all the time? I love that shit.
I love it too.
I was never a fan because I worked there, but man, I used to love that shit. I'd be like, man, we're going to be up 16-7. It's going to be great. like, damn, if we get to 24-7, this game is
over. Get me out of here on time tonight.
And we need to get to 24-7 because my guy, Mike Mitchell, Is it safety? Nah, Mike, if you're watching, love you, peace and love. But I'm just.
You know what game ruined that when they stopped going for two?
It was division game, wasn't it?
No, it was not. No, there's a specific game that ruined it.
Was it the Chiefs playoff game where they couldn't get in the end zone, so they couldn't go
for
two?
No, not the Chiefs playoff game. No, it was the Cowboys game at home at Heinz Field.
Yeah.
They scored first and went for two, and then were chasing it the rest of the way. Zeke scored that like 20-yard touchdown run with like 15 seconds left. Yep. They lost 35-32 and had three missed two-point conversions.
My ass was
They were 0-for-3 on two-point – or maybe it was 0-for-4. But they lost by 3 points. It was like if you would have kicked the fucking extra points, we would have gone to overtime.
That was the last time.
That was the last time they ever tried to go for two out of sequence.
Yeah. And they – I believe that year that made them 4-5.
Yeah.
And then they went on a run.
They went on a run.
And then it's the last time they won a playoff game.
Yep. Yeah,
no, that's
but
right.
Good fucking
that
time.
Was
good
that
time.
Actually in retrospect, like of the games we've lost at Heinz Field that I've been to, that was one of the best games. Like that was just a fantastic.
Oh, it was a fun game.
It was a
game
really
watch.
Good football game.
If I didn't have a horse in the race type thing, it was just a great game to watch.
Yeah.
Hi, Aaron. Welcome in.
I think it was a shitty game because I hate the fucking Cowboys, and it was close the entire game. Well, a really good game versus the Cowboys would be the Steelers up like 28 points the entire game. That'd be an outstanding game as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. The television networks would hate it, and I'd be like, yeah, this is great. fantastic.
We've been rambling on for almost an hour. We've done a few viewer questions, but I've really pumped this show tonight as a viewer Q&A, so I appreciate that.
Maybe you could ask some questions that they wrote down.
Right. Any questions from the viewers right now? Fire away, and we will answer them. Anybody? Go.
You know what was a really good game against the Cowboys? The one Deshae Townsend had that interception return for a
touchdown.
Picked
off Romo for a TD.
Man, Tony Romo throwing a back-breaking interception. Imagine
there's
that.
A shot.
That never happened.
You know who made that play happen, though, was Lamar Woodley pushing the offensive tackle right back into Romo's lap. He couldn't step into his throw and had to throw it high. And Townsend did a great job. He read the route that Witten was going to run all the way. No one's asked a question, so I'm going to talk about that game some more. That game, they had first and goal. They were down 13-7. They had first and goal from the two and couldn't score. They went for it on fourth down. Then later they got the ball back, and Heath scored that touchdown with 2 minutes left to tie the game. And then Dallas got the ball, and we're like, all right, there's 2 minutes left. Dallas got the ball. They ran it on first down, and Tomlin called timeout, and we're all like, what the fuck is he doing? Like, let the clock run out. Let this game go to overtime. And then the next play, Townsend gets that pick six, and we're like, holy shit, look at this. Like, that 2008 season, and somewhat the 2005 year, too, that we won the Super Bowl, we snatched so many victories from the jaws of defeat years. It was just incredible.
It's every year like that. What do they talk about? Every season comes down to maybe a handful of plays.
And they haven't had that luck in a long time.
Past year, that blocked field goal against Baltimore, if we make that field goal, win that game, we go to the playoffs.
Right.
Deserve to be in the playoffs for how shitty we were. But
All right.
I mean, you want to talk about block field goals? What about that block extra point week one?
Yeah,
that took us to overtime versus the Bengals.
Play of the year.
Yeah, it
was, and obviously player of the game without question. They would have lost without him. But I mean, that's kind of a fluke play. And if a couple of things don't happen in succession,
if that long snapper doesn't get hurt in that game,
right. That was just a cycle of events, which turned out fine for us. But Matt asks, switching sides, which areas on defense worry you? I'll make it very, very quick. Inside linebacker worries me probably the most right now. I'll let the others answer.
I'm going to say cornerbacks. We've changed bodies, but the corners weren't good last year. They gave up a lot of completions and tackled the catch. I know we've changed some bodies there, but we also signed two guys from the 31st ranked pass defense in the league. So, you know, Peterson and Sullivan from Minnesota. So, like, yeah, I don't know. Corner worries me. We drafted two guys that have potential. They have upside, but potential is a nice word for you haven't done shit yet. So,
right.
You know, I think long-term corner looks okay, but short-term I'm a little worried about it, especially in the division where you've got Ja'Marr Chase that you have to play twice.
Aaron asks, when do I start walking normal? For those that don't know, Aaron recently had a procedure done that usually requires...
Vasectomy?
Yes, that usually requires the gentleman to put some frozen vegetables on his private area. Aaron, you should be walking normal by now. If you're not, I suggest you immediately go to your physician.
If you're having issues for 4 hours... Please seek medical attention.
Right. Seek medical attention immediately.
Longer than 4 hours.
Yeah, actually longer. You should. So if it's like 3:59,
yeah,
you know what? Roll the dice.
Fuck. See, Aaron, your mistake was that you had this done over the summer. You should have had it done like the middle of March, so you could just sat on your couch and watch the NCAA tournament for like 4 days straight.
That's more vasectomies are done those 2 days than any other.
Yep.
Yeah,
get it done on Thursday so you can sit there and watch the first round. I can't move, honey. Yeah. I can't do anything right now.
Ben looks like Big Ben.
No,
I'm gonna go with no, Claude. I see where he's going.
A for effort, Claude. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I think he looks more like Jack Lambert.
Sure.
I don't want to. I agree with Ian though. I've said for years that I think this pass defense is not as good. This pass defense is only as good as the pressure.
That's the way it's always been though. Right.
I think my biggest concern is TJ Watt. Just hope that he's healthy. I wish him good health this whole year. We saw what we know what he's capable of, but we also saw a vast difference between an Alex Highsmith production when TJ is on the field and when TJ is not on the field. I'm a little nervous about that.
George asks, do you think Trice? Oh, I'm sorry.
Hold on. The position I am most concerned about is actually slot corner. I know that Ian mentioned the corners, you know, en masse.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that, but we don't have a slot corner on this team really. And the guys that we do have are not good. We've gone from Mike Hilton, who we all thought was not all that great. And he's not a great cover player, but he's adequate.
And he's aggressive. He makes plays. Right, he's not passive.
Right. To Millett, who was a pretty good slot guy on first and second down. And then he was spelled by Cam Sutton in obvious passing situations, and it worked, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
To now Millett is gone, and Sutton is gone, and the guys we've got are question marks. So it could work out. It could be that it's Pat P in the slot in those obvious passing situations. And he thinks he can do it, and we'll see. But he's been an outside corner his whole career, and the guys they've got in there now are – they're guys who have never done it so they're question marks. A couple of those guys are basically street free agent quality guys that, you know, guys that may or may not have jobs in September are competing to be the Steelers starting nickel right now. Okay. So if you want to look at it as Ryan pointed out, coverage in the middle of the field between slot corner, safety, and inside linebacker, that's the biggest area the Steelers need to get cleaned up.
I
don't know why. Maybe he didn't pass his physical when they brought Quan Alexander in. Maybe he wants too much money. Maybe. But the guy's still out in the street. He hasn't been signed by anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And really, his forte is coverage. He's a cover linebacker.
Signing
a guy like that, I think would help a lot with that gaping hole in the middle of the field.
I can't deny it.
Yeah, if I'm an opposing offensive coordinator, I'm setting things up so my best receivers are running routes from the inside.
And they've done that for years. I mean, they've lined up their best receivers in the slot for years.
I mean, you know, the Chargers never did that.
Thanks, Mark. I'm gonna quote Ryan on this one. I don't know who that guy is, but fuck him.
I mean, the Keenan Allen game.
Oh God. Oh, the frustration.
And if they start matching guys, you know, man for man, outside in,
and it'll
be better than what they've done previously when you've got Vince Williams on Keenan Allen.
And, that's, you know, I think awful. Cole Holcomb's mullet's wonderful and all, but
he's not a cover guy.
But exactly. And like to me, they went back to the bruisers and inside linebacker. And I think that's all well and good.
That's why I said what I did.
But I mean, shit, dude. And I'm not saying, and listen, it's terrible what happened with Ryan Shazier. It's such a fluke thing. It just sucks. But this defense has not been the same since Ryan Shazier went down.
All kind of saying, okay.
I know what Ryan means.
Ryan wasn't doing this show then.
Right.
But
we all saw it coming.
We saw it coming.
Yep.
We were always head down
when he tackled.
Yeah.
Always.
And what I thought was going to happen was going to be a neck injury. I didn't think he was going to get paralyzed.
No.
But what I saw coming was a neck injury. And it was like, this guy has either got to start wearing a neck roll or a bumper back there like Farrier used to have.
Yeah.
Or change his tackling form because he's always got his fucking head down.
We did. We talked about it a lot. A lot of people did.
It wasn't just us.
It's one of those things you never, ever, ever want to be right about.
And then it happened, and it was just like, holy shit, this is even worse than we were afraid of.
Right. No. I think it was George or Claude? I think it was George that asked about Corey Trice. Look, Trice was a third round type guy. Injuries moved him down into the seventh. He's got all of the characteristics you look for and what the Steelers want in a corner. Everything that I've heard coming out of OTAs and minicamp is he's doing really well. I'm not going to get overly excited about it because let's face it, it's pajama Olympics type stuff, but hell yeah. I mean, if this guy can play, what a massive choice that he'll end up having been in the seventh round.
If he makes this team, he's got to show out on special teams.
He's got to
show he can be a gunner on special teams to make this team. And that is what I mean. Like, you got to, because kickoffs they basically did away with, right? You can fair catch a kickoff now get the ball at the 25. Like, how dumb is that? You can fair catch a kickoff that lands in the field of play and get the ball at the 25 yard line. Like, how that's.
I'm somewhat excited and curious to see what coaches are going to do to combat that.
You squib kick it. You almost have to squib kick it.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So at any rate, but kickoffs have basically been done away with. So the only way to have an impact on special teams for a cornerback is to be a gunner, right? Because he's not a returner. He's not Hank Poteet, right? He's not going to go back there and field punts and try and return him. So basically Corey Trice's shot to make this team is to show he can be a gunner on a punt team. And I mean, you know, maybe he comes out in the preseason and lights it up and gets a couple interceptions and things like that.
Right.
That's going to turn heads, right?
You're talking about being on the 53.
Yeah. I'm talking about being on the 53.
I think
be on the 53, you got to be able to play on special teams.
Based upon his potential and the way he's being talked about, that worst case, this guy ends up on the practice squad.
Oh, yeah. I think he's definitely right on that cut line, right? But that's how you get above the cut line if you play on special teams.
The guy I think may not make it is Trey Norwood because he had an up and down year last year. And
kind of feast or famine, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I feel like he's got potential. It just hasn't
less impressive than he was his rookie year.
Yeah. It hasn't quite completely manifested yet, but the other side of it is the thing about last year in the secondary, right? Like, where do you play him, right? Minka's Minka was healthy all the time. Minka missed what, one game, I think. But you know, there wasn't a lot of opportunity for him to play, especially because, like, even in nickel, they were moving Cam Sutton to the slot. So yeah,
well, and they've got KZ now. So yeah. It's like, okay, you've got KZ, you have your backup free safety. You really don't need a Trey Norwood unless he can also play slot.
I think nickel. KZ might be the starting strong.
KZ, it's gonna be Neil.
Yeah, well, maybe
it's gonna be Neil starting strong, and then he'll play some dime backer.
When I would say they might rotate too. That, like, Neil plays first and second down.
Yeah, they have so many specialty packages.
Yeah, I mean they like to run those three safety sets, right? Yeah. Which is why they've got all three guys. But what they were doing a lot last year was they were sticking KZ back there at free, and they were letting Minka freelance a little bit.
Yeah,
freeing him up. If this happens, be here. If this happens, be here. Follow your instincts, and he made some plays.
Yeah,
he was in a position to either take down the guy who actually caught the ball, break up the catch, which he did frequently, and or catch a tipped ball.
Yeah,
so he was a guy who was always in a position to make a play, and that's where you want a guy like a Minka. You want it to eventually get the ball in his hands, because if he can get a little space, look out.
Yeah.
Two questions.
And actually, sorry, Mark, but to Ben's point about the tip balls, the guys they have drafted and signed between Patrick Peterson, Joey Porter Jr., and Corey Trice are all really long-armed guys.
Oh, God. Yeah. They definitely have a type.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. They're looking for guys with a big radius.
Yeah.
That it's difficult to throw around.
Yeah.
Just a couple of questions that have come in. Jen, as far as the fascination with all the long snappers.
Long snappers. Did you see that long snapper they just signed is like 6'8" or something fucking ridiculous?
Yeah, that's what she's getting at. You know, I think it's just, you know, maybe you find a diamond in the rough. No.
Here's what it is. Is you have things you have to do with your special teams during OTAs and mini camp and even training camp that, you know, sometimes your kicker's practicing and your punter's practicing, or you have both a kicker and a backup kicker and a punter and a backup punter. Like, you practice all these things all the time on, like, concurrent fields. So you just kind of need two guys at each position. Plus in the preseason, when you start, like, you don't necessarily want your kicker, punter, long snapper, who are going to be like the guys out there in the fourth quarter of a preseason game. Correct. So you sign another guy off the street and you're like, hey, come in and long snap for us. And if we like what you do, we'll keep your phone number around. So if our guy gets hurt, we'll call you back.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah. What I meant by diamond in the rough is just like exactly what you just said. If our guy goes down now, at least we got a guy. Yeah. Because
Matthew Wright, the kicker, a couple years ago, that we had him in for preseason, then Boswell got hurt, and we're like, hey, come back.
Yep.
And then we cut him, and he wound up being good somewhere else, and then we signed a guy who sucked, and it was that was
never
weird.
Never fails, right?
Yeah.
Matthew Wright was a good place kicker 40, 45 yards.
40 in. Yeah.
Yeah, he was not a good distance kicker.
No.
Yeah.
I think – I heard a rumor that Kuntz was injured, and that was why they were, like, you know, hedging their bets.
Seems like long snappers almost always struggle with knee problems.
I don't understand why, because you can't hit them.
Right. I can only assume it's the constant bending over. Yeah, but
kind of like a catcher in baseball, right? Like, it's maybe the constant repetitive bending.
Yeah, but a center has the same motion, right? So
I think it's a little different because of the torque, maybe.
That could be.
That's all I can think of as a difference.
You're throwing it back and you're throwing it to a spot.
Yeah. Another George asked real quick about trading Levi Wallace. And the only way I think that happens is if they do get so thrilled
if one of the young guys really comes out and wows them.
Mm-hmm.
Then, yeah, I agree. That's a possibility, but
probably
not. Wallace is not spectacular.
It's a nice corner.
He's steady.
Right.
He's a steady guy
who Wallace is good within like 25 yards of the line of scrimmage. He's not of good long speed. So, right. And the Bills exploited that, right? The Bills were like, oh, he used to be here. Yeah. We know he can't run deep.
We know this guy. We're going to have Diggs run a bunch of nines and sevens on this guy day long.
He did pick off Josh Allen, but who doesn't? You know?
True. Claude mentioned Presley Harvin. I mean, if this other guy from the Jets, previously with the Jets, comes in and punts well, is it finally curtains for Harvin?
Yeah.
It's got to be.
Yeah.
It's got
to
be.
You know, I honestly, them. I'm surprised that guy was available to be snatched on waivers.
So,
yeah. God,
really am.
It was, I can't remember what year it was, but fuck, it's going to bother me now. But they ended up trading Brad Wing.
Yes.
The Minnesota. Oh, yeah. Yeah. The Giants.
The Giants.
For a conditional seven.
Yeah.
Or like whatever. Yeah, so like two punters that are half decent isn't a bad thing because that position's value. I mean, and who did it? Jordan, was it Jordan Berry that ended up taking over for Brad Wing?
Yeah.
Okay. So and Ian, you're right. There's constant specialists working on fields and whatnot. And as we saw last year in that, you know, I know most teams don't carry two long snappers on a roster, let alone dress two long snappers. But
let alone draft one.
Oh, yeah. Colin Holba. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
He's still in the league. He's still in the league, man.
Wait, he is?
Yeah. He's still in the league. He's long snapping for Jacksonville, I think.
That dude was the definition of just fucking happy to be here.
who was
Greg? It had to be Greg Warren was still around.
No, Warren got hurt. He had like
he tore his ACL.
Yeah, he had like a career-ending injury, but nobody knew it. And they drafted Holba, and people were like, "What the fuck?" And then it was like, "Oh, Greg Warren's retiring." We're like, "Oh, okay."
But Holba never played for us. So no, who was it then?
Oh, no. Yeah, it was the kid from Portland State.
Cam Kennedy.
Cam Kennedy. And he was there on a tryout basis.
Right. Hold it. Now,
for rookie camp.
I need to do some research. And then I was still there.
Got signed.
The keyboard.
Then got signed and then beat out Colin Holba in camp. It was the weirdest thing ever.
Yeah, oh, wait. Hey, Colin Holba announced his retirement from football in February of 2022.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you're all liars.
Let's raise one for Colin Holba.
So here's another fun Colin Holba fact. Someone's Wikipedia page. He was the first Louisville Cardinal drafted in the 2017 draft, and we picked him in the sixth round.
Oh, my God.
So,
well,
I can't. Yeah. Well. By the way, Aaron asks, what am I supposed to do with my Harvin jersey? Aaron, I'm going to turn this around. Why in the hell do you have a Presley Harvin jersey?
Yeah, good question.
Well, it has the number 6 on it. So what you can do is you can take the nameplate off and put a Brister on there.
Or a Sean Squeezum.
Yeah, or yes.
That's right. Squeezum.
Squeezum won a lot of games in that number.
Duck Hodges. Yeah.
Duck Hodges. Now, that'd be cool, actually.
That'd be a cool jersey.
That would be cool. That would be a novelty. Yeah, I got sure a Duck Hodges much. Jersey.
Duck Hodges.
Oh, seriously, man. I mean,
I stay corrected.
Duck's apparently done all right for himself after football.
So. Oh, he's done quite well.
He's done fine. And the other guy who since we're talking about players that.
Oh, look at this guy. Look at this guy.
Got a lot of hate.
I got a Hodges.
You want to talk about Lanny Wilson? What are we doing?
Dude, what are you doing? You should have left the Hodges out there.
Tommy Maddox.
Yes.
Is a guy who I think gets way too much fucking hate from Steelers fans. He was not good. He never was. The decision to play him and to go to a more pass oriented offense with him was Bill Cowher's. And it was because prior to that game where he got paralyzed, he played lights out for like 5 weeks. Dude, he came back late that same season, and it was the Browns playoff game where Steelers got behind.
Nope.
The Steelers got behind and then came back.
Yeah.
And Tommy played lights out in the fourth quarter again.
Yep.
Tommy won some games.
Yeah,
won some games for the Steelers.
Joe Nedney won the Academy. He won the Academy Award that year.
Yeah, fuck Joe Nedney.
August 8th, Jeff Fisher 8-8.
Fuck Jeff Fisher too.
With that shitty mustache.
Tommy gets a lot of hate from Steelers fans for not being good enough, and he wasn't good, but.
The guy had a nice season in the XFL.
Yeah, he was the XFL MVP.
Point being, just this. Tommy Maddox didn't suck. He wasn't a guy who you should throw garbage at or whatever or pour beer on like they did Cordell. I don't get it. And I don't even know how the fuck I got on this point. I do, because it was Duck Hodges, and it was like people said the same thing about Duck, how he sucked. And I'm like, Duck's
he was our number four quarterback.
Tommy Maddox was way better than Duck.
I know. And both players, though, were playing to the especially Duck, they were playing to the maximum of their skill set. They were doing as much as they possibly could with their own gifts, which on an NFL level were a little limited, let's be honest. But they were in that position. They were thrown in there, and they had to make the best of it. And both those guys did, as opposed to our friend Mason fucking Rudolph, who has more talent than either one of those guys and can't put it together because he's afraid.
Wasn't Tommy a first-round pick?
Tommy was a first-round pick of the Denver Broncos when he came out of UCLA.
You know, and it didn't click, and that's how he ended up in the XFL.
It didn't, and he was supposed to be the heir apparent to John Elway at the time, and didn't really work out. And I remember when he left college, his head coach, whose name now escapes me.
Terry Donahue?
I don't know if it was Terry Donahue or not.
Was it Neuheisel? No.
Could have, well, it might have been.
It might have been Neuheisel.
Before he did the block bowl. Bother me.
Anyway,
that's bullshit.
He told him he wasn't ready. He told Tommy he said, "You're not ready. Yes,
you're right.
You're not ready. You need another year. You should stay." And he went anyway. Yep. And got taken in the first round. And as far as Maddox was concerned, that just validated his decision to go pro and go. And as he put it, learn from the best, John Elway.
Yeah.
Which that hey, you're saying the right thing.
Right.
Fuck, I'd carry a fucking clipboard behind John Elway all day long.
You know, I would say, I absolutely agree with you about Tommy Maddox and Ian. We're the same age. You have more kids than I do. Bless your heart. I'm just saying, but
one or two.
I'm drunk, but you know,
or six
the,
more. Whatever, the, one of those.
No, five more. But the
six.
Is it five?
Yes.
Yeah.
You have one. I have six. It's five.
Basic math here on the show tonight.
Here's a guy that doesn't know. Here's a guy that doesn't know the periodic table. I'm way off. Anyway, so, but Ian, like Tommy Maddox was like sort of like a cult phenomenon, right? Like, and Duck, to an extent.
Yes.
But no, Ben, I agree. I know that's a tangent, but I appreciate everything that Tommy Maddox, except for that game against the Houston Texans.
Was that his fault or was just
yes, like, he threw three interceptions?
Yes, but it wasn't just him, it was everybody on every it was like
no, that
they,
was
they
like
were in quicksand, they couldn't get out of their fucking way.
Yeah,
like the whole offense, they just kept
Aaron,
fucking up,
and
like
also
they would move the ball and then they would drop it.
And where is he? Aaron Glenn was a really good fucking player, and
he's a good football player.
Where's he? Does he coordinate the Texans now? He's a coordinator.
No. Lions, isn't he? D coordinator.
He might
Lions?
Be. Maybe. He was a really good football player, and he looked
nice
at Tommy
career.
Maddox was like, I know just where this guy's going. Like it was like, but no, like I like it was that was Christ, fucking Renegade was born in that Cleveland playoff game.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
And Kelly Holcomb for the like. You know, here's how shitty the Browns are. Okay,
maybe that's what we need, a T-shirt. Tommy Maddox started Renegade.
Just when you thought the Cleveland Browns were turning the page because Tim Couch wasn't good enough, so they have Kelly Holcomb.
That's right.
Kelly Holcomb had a Kelly Holcomb had a really good year, and he had a really good playoff game. Dennis Northcutt, like that
he did. He had a great game. I got to give him props.
William Green was their running back. Shit.
Boston College.
You know, and like
It was the next year that Joey Porter got in the fight with William Green, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think it might have been. Season. Yeah.
But yeah, because Randall L returned a punt for a touchdown. That's what really started to turn the tide. Yeah, but go on.
Like Tommy Maddox, like that dude, like especially after, because it was the year after we lost to the Patriots in the AFC title game, and Cordell was gone. Like Cordell, well, he was here, but he was done. Like it was done, and like he sort of helped turn that page to Ben Roethlisberger. And then who's the other? It's bothering me. I've been thinking about it for a couple minutes now. Who
Jim
the
Miller?
Hell? Huh?
No,
Jim Miller?
No.
The mid-90s.
No, Jim Miller
was
like
99. Who's the fucking dude for the Jaguars? Who's the cornerback for the Jaguars that was?
Rasheem
Mathis. Fuck, man. Him. He was the Steelers fucking.
Yes. And it didn't matter who was throwing the ball. Nope. That dude was pick six city.
What was his name?
Rasheem Mathis.
Rasheem Mathis.
Oh, fuck that guy. Yeah.
He just had the Steelers fucking scheme down.
It
he just
didn't
knew
matter.
Where to be.
Didn't matter.
That fucking guy. Yeah, the Steelers made that guy rich.
Yeah.
They did. I mean, honestly, it's like one of those deals where he should have sent them a thank you note when he got his contract. You know, I say all the time that Rod Woodson should have thanked Vinny Testaverde when he got when he got inducted into the Hall of Fame. And he should have.
Right.
But Rasheem Mathis is a guy who should have sent a thank you note to the Steelers when he got his contract.
Yeah. No argument here.
Yeah. Fuck that guy, though.
Fuck him. Fuck that guy is right.
We do have an appearance from Casey Kasem tonight, but with one little exception.
Exception?
Yeah, there's an exception.
Ryan is not the letter writer tonight. We have We have a new letter writer to Mr. Casey Kasem.
Oh, God almighty.
And, is Casey ready?
Casey's ready, but at first glance, our correspondent Ian needs to do a better job of formatting. Because okay? I've had some drinks and
I've had a few drinks.
He called him a correspondent.
Casey would. All right, here we go.
Let it rip.
American top. Party, Casey. Oh, hold on. Casey's Coast to Coast, American Top 40. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the week that was June 22nd, 1985. That deadbeat Ryan Scarpino is off tonight. And so Ian from Pittsburgh writes, Dear Casey, why do you always respond to Ryan's letters but not to mine? I'm feeling more left out than Kenny Pickett's name from the top 15 quarterbacks in the AFC. I just want everyone to know that I did not read this before I've read now. So a surprise for all of us. Ryan may have told you this in his letters, but Kenny Pickett went to Pitt. In his senior season, no, not that one, the other one, Pitt finished ranked 13th in the polls. That was the only time Pitt was ranked in the top 15 since 2009. Now Kenny is struggling to even be considered in the top 15 at his own conference. Casey, did you know the Dave Matthews Band is playing in Pittsburgh this weekend?
Really?
Dave Matthews reminds me of Matt Canada's offense. They might say they're playing something different, but it sure all... I'm sorry. It sure all looks and sounds the same to me. Maybe next time I should review this so I don't laugh when I read it. Anyways, Casey, it's the off season, and the most exciting thing happening in sports is
there's nothing.
Oh, okay. That was intentional. Thank you, Ian, for
formatting.
Yeah. I thought it was Morse code. Well, Ian, that sounds like a depressing summer. Maybe the Pittsburgh Pirates can soothe your woes. No, I'm being told they suck as well. But here's a song for you. This one also peaked outside the top 10, just like Pitt football. Up to number 12 this week, here's Smuggler's Blues by Glenn Fry.
Smuggler's Blues.
Oh, fuck.
R.I.P. Glenn Fry, by the way. That's right.
Weren't they? Isn't DMB playing some lake way the hell outside of Pittsburgh?
No, it's Star Lake. It's the amphitheater at Burgettstown.
Tell me you're not from Pittsburgh.
How far away is that?
It's at Burgettstown. It's the
well.
It's
if you leave tomorrow,
how long will it
take you
to drive there, Ian? I know where Mount Lebanon is. How far from there?
All right. Well, here's the deal. There's one road into Burgettstown, and anytime there's a concert there, you're on that road for an hour and a fucking half. So,
is there a casino available?
So one way is like 2 hours from Ian's house to get to
probably.
Burgettstown.
It's two hours from anywhere in Pittsburgh because there's one road that goes in there.
It's a mess.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. Okay. Thanks everybody for joining us tonight. Thanks, Ryan, for reading
my letter.
That's right.
I will say it's a lot easier when you write the letter and than when the first time you see it.
I was expecting you to like reply back to me to be like, "Oh, I read this. Thanks."
Whatever.
You said for proofreading.
Here's a guy that doesn't proof before he goes on Sunday Night Football.
Thanks so much to our loyal viewers who continue to join us every week, even though it's the off season and there's very little to talk about. You guys were great as always tonight.
You guys are the best. Like, you,
thanks
you joined,
to,
we had
thanks,
what?
Yeah.
12, 15
tonight.
12, 15
it was
people
fantastic.
Join us on a random Thursday night in June. This was great.
Know,
you guys are awesome.
They're wonderful.
We do miss Big Ben's Burner. Not that
yeah,
we
just
don't
shout
love
out to him.
All he's, of you, but yeah, yeah Burner is apparently decided to take a job.
Took a job that
working evenings
from joining us. So best to him and
best to him and his family,
everybody. But that'll do it.
Shout out Big Ben's Burner.
And anyway, this has been the SCB Steelers podcast presented by Deck Roofing Incorporated of South Florida. And hey, go Steelers.
Ravens suck.
I still have faith in you, Mason.